Well, amen. I don't know whether to get up here or just go ahead and take a lap. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Isn't this good? Isn't this good? If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Brother Cal, thank you for the invitation to be here. What a privilege. We are certainly not on a boat, but we are close, as the mayor said, to the water. So, amen. And Brother Cal, thank you for letting me be with these two guys over here. Brother Allen and Brother Philip are just precious brothers to me. I love you guys. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, this is good. Have y'all enjoyed this week? I just hate I haven't been able to be here. Boy, it's just so good. I feel like we could just about go home and say it's been good to be here. But since we've gathered for this time, Romans chapter 5, I want to begin to read in verse 1. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, in reverence the word of God, stand with me as we read Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And I want to look at the first two verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, it's so good to be in your house with your people. God, thank you for such a sweet time to worship you. And Lord, that we could lift our voices, our hearts, and our hands in praise and adoration of you. Thank you for this time that we could worship you through singing. And God, I pray now we would continue to worship you through your word. And God, I pray as we walk about this text that you would cause it to leap off the page and become reality in our lives. God, I pray that you would preach to us tonight. For Lord, these folks haven't gathered to hear what Rock Collins has to say. For God, my words won't make any difference. But God, your words can change every life here. And I just pray in the name of Jesus and by the power of his shed blood that you would dismiss me and you would preach to us tonight. God, we want to hear from heaven. I want you to preach tonight. And God, I would that your name would be exalted and that you would get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. May it all go to Jesus. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We live in an unusual day. A day like we have never seen before, truth be known. And this society that we live in seems to always be in it, whatever it is, for what they can get out of it, whatever it is. You notice that? Everybody wants theirs. Everybody wants their portion. Everybody wants their piece. Everybody wants something. And I just came tonight as the Lord had carried me through this text, and I came to these two verses, and the Lord said, let me show you what you get by faith in Jesus. So I just came tonight to tell you what you get by faith in Jesus. Because that's what these two verses tell us. It tells us ultimately that which is given freely to those who come to Jesus Christ by faith, believing that he is the Son of God. Hebrews 11 tells us in verse 1 that the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen is the definition of faith. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When we come by faith in Jesus Christ, we come believing he is who he says he is. He did what he said he would do, and he rose from the dead victorious, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, having never seen him with our visible eyes. but by faith we believe it. Now, a lot of folks have a hard time with that. Well, if I can't see it, I won't believe it. And if that's your philosophy, you'll go to hell. I'm just telling you. I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm just telling you. You won't believe it till you see it. The Bible said by faith we come to Jesus Christ. And that means you believe even though you can't see. So the Bible says, therefore. You know when you see that, you got to know what's it there for. And so why did we start? Why do we start chapter 5 and verse 1 with therefore? Because he is making a statement about what that's going to continue from what he said, but he's been giving a foundation upon which to lay these verses. And so if you go back and look prior to chapter 5, and I don't have time to preach all four chapters before, though I'd like to. But here's what I want to tell you. There is a theme that we find in those four chapters, and it is simply this. Man, maybe I could sum it up best with one verse from that says our righteousness is like filthy rags. Maybe I could sum it up by saying all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Chapter 3, verse 23. And so we find in these four previous chapters that there is a case that Paul lays out to simply say, we are not worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could never be worthy. Our best day is still not good enough for him. Because he's holy, holy, holy God, and we are not. Amen? And so he's laid out this case, and now he comes and says, even though we find ourselves in a condition that we can't save ourselves, we can't fix ourselves, the good news is justification is available. So I want you to see right here, because he said, therefore being justified by faith. So what is it we get by faith in Jesus Christ? Number one, we get justification. Justification comes through Jesus Christ. Now, if you're wondering what justification means, one has said that justification, to be justified, literally means to be just as if I'd never sinned. And I kind of like that definition. But if we really want to dig into it, the legal term is to acquit. You've heard that before, haven't you? That legal term that's used in a courtroom setting and someone's been accused of a crime, but they're not found guilty, they are acquitted. Amen. By faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this isn't just any kind of faith, but this is a faith in Jesus that he died on the cross and shed his life's blood for the forgiveness of our sin. For the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Friend, Jesus had to die and shed his blood so our sins could be forgiven. Now, whose law is that? That's God's law. I said, that's God's law. See, in the Old Testament, we see that he said, take a lamb without spot and a blemish and sacrifice, bring that blood in, sprinkle the mercy seat. But in the New Testament, God changed his modus operandi, and instead of saying, go find a lamb, he became a lamb himself, and he stepped down into flesh, and he came to die on the cross and shed his blood so that your sins and mine could be forgiven. Listen, you don't just sin for free. Your sin and my sin is expensive, and it cost Jesus his life. But because he died and shed his blood, if we come by faith in that Jesus, I'm not talking about some Johnny come lately Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. Is anybody here? I'm like that one preacher. If it ain't Mary's baby, it ain't the right one. Is anybody with me yet? I'm telling you, that one named Jesus the Christ, who came and lived a sinless life and died on the cross, by faith in him, we can be acquitted. We can be justified. Well, I don't deserve it. I'm so bad. Hey, amen. You sure don't. Nor do I. I'm so glad that the forgiveness of my sin isn't based on what I deserve, but forgiveness of our sin is based on the blood of Jesus the Christ, and there is no sin greater than the blood of Jesus. So the Bible teaches us that we've been acquitted. Now listen, it's not only that we've been acquitted, but when we dig in there to see that justification, not only have we been acquitted, but we've been proclaimed as righteous. See, he took us from our sinful condition
and he put us in a righteous position as a result of him shedding his blood for the forgiveness of our sin. But you don't experience that move from being accused to acquitted to righteous unless you come by faith in Jesus. It doesn't happen just because you want it to. See, the law was given to us to expose our sin, not to justify. Jesus came and fulfilled the law and died for our sins so that we could be justified. Isn't that good? Can I show you a quick picture? If you think of the law like a mirror, okay? You ever look in a mirror? Hey, amen. Some of y'all, I think, forgot. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. Hey. You look in a mirror and you know what the mirror tells you? The truth. That's what it tells you. Amen. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it don't lie. You look in the mirror. There it is. Now, let me tell you what else the mirror can tell you. If you have toothpaste running down the side of your cheek and you didn't feel it, and you look in the mirror, you see you got toothpaste. And so all of us, I know you all do because I do too. Whenever I see that, then I lean up against the mirror and try to rub it off my face. You don't do that? You know why you don't do that? Because the mirror can't clean your face. See, that's what the law did. It exposed us as sinners. It revealed it. The law was like looking in a mirror and it saw how short we came. It just exposed us. But the Lord, the law couldn't do anything about it. That's why God sent Jesus, praise the Lord, to die for our sin and justify us of our sin. Listen, by faith in Jesus Christ, you can be justified from your sin, acquitted and made righteous. But that's just the beginning. Therefore, being justified by faith, that's through Jesus Christ, we have peace. Not only is there justification by faith in Jesus, but there is peace by faith in Jesus. Peace. Peace. Oh, sweet peace. You don't know how sweet peace is until you don't have it. See, when you're living in that place where there is no peace, then you appreciate peace. Let me help you with something. This word peace means so much because it is a picture, if you will, of our standing with Jesus. The peace is not just talking about, well, you have peace from your difficulties or your storms, but by faith in Jesus, through Jesus Christ, listen, you have peace with God. Let me see if I can help you. All of us want peace. I mean, everybody wants peace in their life. Nobody likes to live in turmoil. I think some people do, but I don't like to live. I don't like to live in turmoil. I like peace. I enjoy peace. But listen, we and everybody, oh, God, give me peace. Oh, God, give me peace. You cannot know the peace of God until you know peace with God. Do you understand that through Jesus you can have peace with God? Do you understand that? But wait a minute. Why do I need peace with God? If I'm not at peace, then I'm at war. Do you understand that before you meet Jesus and by faith receive Him as your Savior, you and I, we were enemies of God? See, Brother Cal, we got a lot of people today say, well, you know, I don't really hate God. I'm not at war with Him. I'm just kind of indifferent on whether He's real or not. See, no, you can't live there. That's not where God led. You're either with Him or against Him. And folks who are not with Him are enemies of God. That's what the Bible teaches. But the Word of God says, by faith in Jesus Christ, not only are we justified of our sin, but we can be at peace with God. That means we're no longer enemies with God. We're no longer at war with God. Thanks be to God, I'm now in the family. Do you want peace in your life? You've got to have peace with God so you can know the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, you ought to read it sometime because it talks about that very thing. Matter of fact, if I had another hour, I'd preach those 7 verses. But anyway, stay with me. We can have peace. We live in a day where people are so hungry for some peace. Oh, if I could just have some peace. People turn to everything to give them peace. They turn to a drink of alcohol to try to calm their nerves. They'll take a pill to try to give them some comfort in their upset mind. Have you noticed how your heart gets troubled, your mind gets troubled, and we feed it with everything we can find to try to get peace? But friend, there is no peace outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing compares. There's a lot of people around us who are longing for peace, and we have the answer. When was the last time you told somebody that the Lord Jesus could give them peace? Well, I don't know if he can or not. You know why? Because you've never experienced it yourself. Let me introduce you to Jesus. By faith. This is good. By faith, we can have justification. We are justified through Jesus Christ. But not only are we justified, but we have peace with God. Where we were enemy, now we're at peace with God. But watch this. The Bible said, therefore, being justified by faith, believing Him, the substance of things hoped for, everything not seen, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access. Do you know what that word really means? You know the depth of it? It is this. It means literally to stand face to face. You have access to where you could stand face to face. You are accessible, or someone is accessible to you that you can stand face to face with them. See the Lord heaven. See, Paul is saying that when we come by faith in Jesus, we have direct access to the Creator of everything. We have direct face-to-face access to the Father through Jesus the Son. I said through Jesus the Son. You can't just get there. Some of y'all think, I'm just going to march up to God. I'm going to ask Him. No, you're not. Who do you think you are? You're not going to march up and ask Him nothing. He is God and you're not. Amen. Well, how do you know? Because I'm not either. But you got to get the significance of this. See, to the Jews, this was the impossibility. Man could never come face to face with God because He's unholy. Jews said it can't happen. And so Paul gets over here and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he begins to write and he said, by faith in Jesus Christ, I've been justified, I have peace, and oh yeah, I have access to the King. Some of you say, well, if I just had somebody who would help me. You got somebody! I said, you got somebody. And He's higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He has more power and more authority than anyone. And He's in control. Well, this world's just in bad shape. God's still in control. Don't you have any question about that? And you can access Him at any time by faith through Jesus Christ. But you can't come unless you come by way of Jesus. See, when the Bible teaches us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, you know why that is? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood so that we could get to the Father. You remember over there in the latter part of the book of Matthew, and the Bible said Jesus was on the cross and He cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Bible said, listen, the Bible said that the veil in the temple split in two. And the Bible said it tore from the top to the bottom. It was huge. It was a huge curtain. And somebody grabbed it at the top and tore it in two. Well, no man could reach that on his own. But there is one who got a hold of it. And it is God the Father. And see what happened. Watch this. What happened was Jesus the Son was interceding on our behalf, presenting his own blood as a sacrifice for your sins and mine. And the veil of the temple, which separated the outer temple to the innermost part of the Holy of Holies, where it was believed to be the dwelling place of God, God tore it in two, because through Jesus' death on the cross, man could get to God. That's how we have access to the Father. Hey, can I just stop right here? This is in my notes anyway. I just want to throw it in, all right? Would you agree with me that God paid a mighty high price so we could pray? Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. Do you practice like he paid a mighty high price so we could pray? I have two boys, 23 and 19, when they were just little fellas, you know, at Christmas or birthdays or whatever, we'd give them a gift, and boy, they like boxes. Maybe your children aren't like that, but mine love boxes. Yeah, I spent some money on what was in those boxes, but they like the boxes. I'm sure glad we're not like that. That God would pay such a price of his own son so we could pray. And we talk about it. We have conferences on it. We read books about it. But we're not practicing too much, are we? I remember reading the story of a gentleman who was so committed to his prayer life. He said every day he spent an hour praying. Every day. It don't matter what else was going on, he spent an hour. And he said, sometimes there were those days I just couldn't work an hour. And we can all relate to that. I mean, you know, you oversleep or whatever. And there's something comes up, you just can't work. And he said, on those days, I would pray for 2 hours. I found out that you do what you believe is important. Man could not get to God on his own, but thanks be to God, he sent his son Jesus, who died and shed his blood for our sin, that we could have access to the Father. Well, if I just had this, if I just had that, if I had some of this, if somebody helped me with that, why don't you talk to your Father?
That's right.
Why don't you talk to him? You have not because you asked him. Well, I'm going to ask him for $1 million. Well, help yourself. Go ahead and ask. He's probably not going to give it to you. You're not handling well what he has given you. Why would he give you that much? I mean, I'm just throwing it out. I'm leaving in a few minutes. I mean, he gives you $100 and you can't tithe with your $100. That's $10 out of every $100. Then why would he give you $1 million to let you not tithe?
That's right.
Well, uh-oh, all that tithing stuff. Makes your access fresher when you go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and you hadn't been stealing from him. So say what you want to. I don't know why we own tithing. That's not in my notes anywhere. Must be a thief in the house tonight. God in heaven. By faith in Jesus, we have been justified. We have peace. We have access. But watch this. By whom also we have access? By faith. He says it again so that you don't forget. You don't have access to the King just by coincidence, but you had to come by faith. See, it's almost like dialing a phone. Okay? If you're going to call me, you got to dial my number.
That's right.
Are you with me? God's number is F-A-I-T-H. If you don't come by faith, you're not going in. And it's by faith through Jesus. Lord, I wish they would like that and get with me. But listen now. And not only so, listen, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. What do you get by faith in Jesus? You get justification, peace, access. You also get grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. God finding favor with you, not because you earned it or deserve it, but because He's God and He chooses to extend it to you. But look at this. He didn't just say that we have grace, but He said, you have grace wherein to stand. Oh, my Lord. You have grace. Look at this. Look at this. Into His grace wherein we stand. When we stand in Jesus Christ, the picture is this is good. Somebody want to get a hold of this. You might want to write it down. Listen, when you stand in the grace of God through faith in Jesus, it means permanence.
That's right.
I can stand in His grace, unmerited favor that He extended to me, and we who follow by faith can stand. See, it speaks to us in such significant ways. Because first it says we have permanence in Christ. When you take a stand, it's showing something that lasts, something that will continue. Oh, you believe in that old once saved, always saved. That's old Baptist doctrine. Bless your heart, honey. That's not Baptist, that's Bible. And so here in the book, it tells us that He has saved us. And if He's strong enough to save me, I'm glad He can sustain me. Is anybody here? I don't understand the love of a God who would say, I love you enough to save you today, but I don't love you enough tomorrow to keep you. We're in grace, into this grace wherein we stand. But the picture of standing is not only permanent, but it shows us, Lord, help us, this is good. It shows us our position that I mentioned earlier. What did I tell you about justification? It means that we've been acquitted of our sin, but it also says that we've been made righteous. See, in our sin, we are unacceptable in the presence of Holy God. You know what happened to John on the Isle of Patmos, don't you? In the first chapter of the Revelation, the Bible said he saw the Lord and he fell on his face as though he were a dead man. You know why? Because God is holy, 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 and He's unholy. At least three times unholy. Just like us. I said, just like us. Amen? And so, watch this, watch this. So, the Bible said, in His grace we stand. That which... When the Bible says that He has extended His grace to us, that unmerited favor, what happened was when by faith we said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I believe You died on the cross for my sin and rose from the dead on the third day, come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, be Lord of my life. When we reach out and ask Him to come in, we come by faith believing Him. Jesus looks, my Lord, He looks at us and sees us for who we are. And who are we? Guilty of sin, needing justification. So He justifies us to acquit us of our sin. But watch this, He also looks at us and realizes we're unrighteous.
That's
right. See, and He looks into my righteousness account, He sees it's bankrupt.
Right.
But when He looks into His account, He sees there is no deficit. And so God, I feel that all over right now. Listen, when God, watch it, when God looked at me and I came by faith through Jesus Christ, He reached into His righteous account and He made a withdrawal and He went over here and made a deposit of righteousness into my bankrupt account, and I stand in His grace. I stand with permanence, but I also stand in the righteousness of God, for He has imputed His righteousness to me. It's like God said, oh, He don't have any righteousness. Won't you put mine on? That's it. That's it. That's what He did. He said, here, put mine on. Fits just right. It covered everything. Righteousness is imputed to us from our Father through Jesus the Christ. I'm about to just have a fit on this. Look at this. Look at this. What do we get by faith through Jesus? We're justified. We have justification. We receive peace. Glory to God. We also have access. We receive His grace whereby we can stand. But wait a minute. It says after that, it said, wherein we stand and rejoice. We're not just standing in permanence. We're not just standing in His right. But the Bible said we're rejoicing. Folks said, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to rejoice.
Here we are.
I know some of y'all looking. I can tell already you looking kind of sideways. What kind of person is he? Red face, sweating, jumping around, acting like a crazy man. You think I'm excited now. You wait till my feet strike Zion, friend. Because I'm going to get a perfect body with a perfect vocal cord, with perfect vocabulary, and I'm going to praise Him like He ought to be praised, because for the first time in my life, I'll be in a perfect body to do it with. So some of y'all who think we're going to get to heaven, it's going to be quiet. You might want to move when you hear me coming. Because I believe we're going to have singing, shouting, and dancing. Amen. I just believe it. I'm going to have to get to heaven to be able to dance because I have no rhythm. But anyway, I'm just saying. The Bible said rejoice. The word rejoice means jubilation. I mean to be full of joy. It's not a moment of fleeting happiness. Oh, I'm happy. You get sad in the same britches you got happy in too. Right? But oh, when there's joy. See, when he talks about rejoicing, it's because that we are so full of him. You know what the psalmist said? From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why I don't have to hang around you long to figure out what's in your heart. See, we tell on ourselves, don't we? You hang around me a while, you'll know what's on my heart. I can't hide it because whatever's on my heart comes out my mouth just like you. We ought to be full of rejoicing. Can I help you just a minute? Watch this. Do you know what a witness we'd be to a lost world if we just rejoiced in the Lord? Because this old world doesn't have anything to rejoice in. Everybody just takes turns being mad. And sometimes they don't take turns. They just all get mad together. And we'll fuss about anything. Yeah, we will. Amen. But we who know Christ by faith, who have come to the Lord, we've experienced justification. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been acquitted. And we have had His righteousness imputed to us. We're living in peace. We live with access. We live in His grace. Glory to God. We stand with permanence in relationship with Him. If anybody ought to rejoice, it ought to be us. But that's not all. See, by faith in Jesus, we're justified and we have peace and we have access. We have grace and we stand and we rejoice. But watch this. The Bible said we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's start with that first word. Hope. You know what our world's longing for, don't you? Hope. Hope. Why do we have to hear about the stock market every day on the news? That's where a lot of people have their hope. That'll get their attention. Why do people get so enthralled with elections? That's where their hope is. Why do we get so engrossed in things that are non-eternal? That's where hope is. The Bible says we have hope of the glory of God. Now, this is rich. First of all, it's a picture of heaven. Amen. Hope of anybody hopeful for heaven? Amen. I'm hopeful for it. I have a great hope in heaven. And it's not just a hope that I hope it comes true. My hope is grounded in the fact of my faith in Jesus Christ is enough to get me to glory. Amen. But listen, listen. The hope of glory, of the glory of God, tells us it's heaven. Because that's His glory is all over the place in heaven. Say, well, I don't really like church. You're not going to like heaven. Because we're supposed to be acting like we in heaven. This is practice. I said, this is practice. We ought to be praising Him. I said, we ought to be praising Him. Somebody done stole some of y'all's praise. Amen. Go get it back. I'm just telling you that the glory of that speaks to us of heaven, a place we ought to praise Him. But watch this. Watch this. It says we have hope in the glory of God. It's not only being in heaven, but it's absolutely, actually experiencing the glory of God. I don't know that y'all appreciate that yet. Let me help you. See, we become partakers of the glory of God because we are in it. We are consumed by it. It's all around. That's what heaven is. Come on. And in heaven, we experience His glory because we're in a body that doesn't know sin. We're in the presence of a God who doesn't know sin. And His glory is radiating everywhere. Hey, my friend, we don't only have the hope of heaven, but we have the hope of experiencing the glory of God. I'm going to tell you something. A year ago, I was at Yellow Creek Baptist Church having a revival, and I'm telling you, God was so good to us. And we would have invitation. People just keep coming. One night, I'm standing over there, and there was a folks who came, and I mean, the Spirit of God was just moving. Do y'all know what I mean when I say that? I could feel Him. Have y'all ever felt the Spirit? Amen. Amen. Folks came and I just kind of like, whew, man, that's good. And we sang another verse and here comes another group of folk. And it was like a wave that just came over. And after about nine times, I was wore out. I'd already preached. I'd already given Him time. Standing over there, Philip was down here receiving folk. Nobody saying nothing but the Lord. What do you say? You hush. That's what you do. I'm standing up, and I'm telling you, when His Spirit would come, you could feel it so strong. It's like a wave come over you. And then here He comes again. Now, I'm telling you, and I've had that experience a time or two. There's been some times in my life where the Lord just kept moving and powering over, and I mean, it wear you out. That's proof I got to get a new body to get to heaven. Because you can't take that. You can't take it. It kills you. Because that's the glory of God. You can't take it. I mean, Moses went up on a mountain and talked to Him. Came down, he had to put a veil on his face because his face was shining so much because the people, the Israelites, couldn't look upon his face because the glory of God was on him. And the Bible said, by faith in Jesus Christ, we have the hope of the glory of God. Oh, I'm going to be in His presence. I'm going to be in heaven, but I'm going to experience the glory of God. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to praise Him. I said, I'm going to praise Him. All of that glory, my Lord, all of that glory will just be to give Him glory. But what the Bible said we have by faith through Jesus Christ, the hope of the glory is the glory of God is something we'll experience, but He shows us something prior to that when He says, we have hope of the glory. Do you know why suicide is such a problem, Mr. Mayor? Hopelessness.
That's right.
People just get to the place where they say there's just no hope. Some of you have been in hopeless situations. You've looked around and said, I can't fix the situation I'm in. We've all been there. But I'm not sure if any of us have been to the complete place of hopelessness. But that's where a lost world lives. Because there's, what are they looking for? They can't find anything to satisfy. I've heard the cry of hopelessness. Had a man in my church when I was pastor down in South Louisiana. He said, Brother Rock, he said, one of my hunting buddies, his wife has just been diagnosed with cancer. Would you go by and visit her with me? I said, well, yeah. He said, she's 44 years old and they've given her just a bad prognosis. They just told her she has no hope. I went to their house and her husband took me and this man in my church and we went into her bedroom. And she's laying in that bed and wasting away to nothing. And I asked her, I said, ma'am, have you ever asked Jesus to come into your heart? She said, no. I said, do you think you're ready to die? She said, no. And I began to share with her the glorious grace of the Lord Jesus. How that he came and died on the cross and shed his blood for our sin, and that he would forgive her of her sin, that he rose from the dead on the third day, and if she'd ask him, he would save her. And you know that little woman laying there in that bed said, I want Jesus. And she began to pray and she believed Jesus died for her sin, rose from death. She invited Jesus into her heart, and on her death bed, Jesus saved her. It wasn't but a couple of days later, they called me, told me she was dead. Said, Brother Rock, would you do the funeral? I said, yes. And I went into that funeral, and praise God, I could preach the glory of heaven and the hope of heaven, the surety of heaven, because this lady had asked Jesus into her heart. Brother Philip, her daughter sat right down here and she didn't know Jesus. And I heard the cry of hopelessness. You know how the Bible said we don't grieve as those who have no hope? It's different. So I've been with folks who know Jesus and know their loved one knew Jesus. Listen, it hurts. Everybody hurts and they cry. But when you cry because somebody you know is lost and you're lost and you don't know, there's a hopeless cry. And I got to tell you something. That cry haunts me to this day. That's been 30 years ago. And it haunts me to this day. I can still hear her crying. And I told her, I said, listen, your mother accepted Jesus and you can accept Jesus. Hopelessness. Years ago, an S-4 submarine just off the coast of Massachusetts was rammed by a ship. The submarine sank immediately. The crew were trapped in this submarine and it might as well have been called a coffin. Because in those days they were not able to rescue them. They have certainly battened off some hatches and moved to different compartments to try to stay alive. And as the crews feverishly worked from topside, they did everything they could to try to save those sailors. One of the last events that happened was a diver went down trying to see what he could do, but you know, one man diving couldn't pull a submarine to the top. And as he was swimming around the wreckage, he heard something tapping. He couldn't figure out what it was and he kept looking around and he narrowed down. He said, that's coming from the submarine. And so he went over to the submarine that had not been hit And he put his head against the submarine, and then he heard the pecking again, and he recognized it was Morse code. So he listened, because with Morse code, every tap meant something, and they're spelling out a word, and he listened intently, and he began to make out what they said. The tapping said, "Is there any hope?" That's what our world wants to know. That's what some of you are wondering tonight. Is there any hope? By faith in Jesus the Christ, the only begotten of the Father, who came and shed His life's blood on a cruel cross, and He died for your sins and mine. 3 days later, God raised Him from the dead. By faith in that Jesus, there is hope. Amen. So I don't know what you have tonight. I don't know what you have. But if you have faith in Jesus, you have justification. You have peace. You have access. You have grace. You can stand. You rejoice. And you have hope. If you're lost without Jesus, you've never asked Him to be Lord of your life, tonight's the night for you to get some hope. You don't have to leave the same way you came. You can be different tonight. According to the Word of God, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that He is Lord, on the third day God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. There are counselors all around here. I'm here. Come take one of us by the hand and say, "I want Jesus." We understand what that means. And we'll open up the text and just show you what I just quoted to you from Romans 10. And in Romans 10:13, it says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So I don't know, maybe you don't want justification. Maybe you don't want peace. Maybe you don't want access. Maybe you don't want grace. Maybe you don't want to stand in this. Maybe you don't want to rejoice. Maybe you don't want any hope. That's a mighty big maybe. I don't know anybody doesn't want that. But more than wanting it, we all need it. And it's available. So I want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus, to come meet Him tonight. In a moment, Brother Cal will be here at the front. Listen, there's plenty of folk. We'd love to introduce you. Come take one of us by the hand. I want Jesus. But I have another invitation. I believe that a lot of you here have hope. Who are you telling? We have almost 7 million people in the state of Tennessee. We're almost at 7 million. And we are approaching 4 million who are unchurched and lost without Jesus. 57.6% is the most recent statistic I have of how many people are lost in Tennessee. Do you know what that means? That means outside these walls are a whole lot of folks who have no hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's what a lost world's wanting to know. Why do you have hope? Because of Jesus. You needing to be justified? He can do it. You need some peace? He can do it. You need access to the Father to pray? He can do it. You need to be in His grace so you can stand. He can do it. You have no joy in your life and you can't rejoice, He can give it to you. And you have no hope. I'm glad my God gives hope. Hope thou in Him. Whatever the Lord said to you to do tonight, that's what you need to do. Pray with me right now. Father, thank You for meeting with us tonight. God, I know not why You would love us like You do. God, I can hardly fathom the thought that You'd love me so much that You'd send Jesus to die so that I could be justified of my sin have your righteousness imputed to me. Lord, that you'd give me peace. God, even in some circumstances that I created for myself, you gave me peace. God, I thank you for hope. Lord, I just pray if there's anybody in the sound of my voice that has not hope in Jesus, that tonight you'd draw them to yourself and they'd say yes to you. Lord, may all of those who do know you and have hope in you, God, may we make a fresh commitment tonight to say, I'm going to tell somebody who needs some hope. God, let our joy be so great that we cannot help but speak the words of how great you are to a hopeless world. And thank you for Jesus and all he's given us. In his name I pray. Amen. Very quietly, reverently, stand to your feet. Brother Allen's going to lead us. You come.